This is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Bava Kamma, Chapter 9, Mishnah 12, and Chapter 10, Mishnah 1. Natsanas hakesef l'anshei mishmar. Someone gives money to the men of the watch, v'meis, and then he dies. Ein hayoshim yicholim lahotzi miyadam. The heirs can't take it out of their hands. Shinemar, as it's written, isha shayitim lakohen lo yeh. That if a person gives the money to a priest, then it's his. Natsan hakesef l'yariv v'ashem liyadaya. Yatza. So if he gave money to Yehoraib and a guilt offering to Yedaya, then he has done his duty. Asham leho yariv, bekesef liyadaya, if he gives the asham to Yehoyariv and money to Yedaya, so im kayim ha'asham, if the guilt offering is in existence, Yakrivuhu b'nei Yadaya. The children of Yadaya shall sacrifice it. V'imlo, and if it's not still in existence, Yaksor v'yavi ashem acher. So then he returns and brings another guilt offering. Shehamevi gezelo ad shelo heviu ashamo yatza. Because if someone brings a guilt offering before he brought what he has stolen, he has not done his duty. Hevi ashamo achlevi gezelo lo yatza. Right? So, if he brings, if one who brought what he had stolen before he brought his guilt offering has done his duty. And again, if one brought his guilt offering before what he brought, then he has not done his duty. Nasan es hakeren velo nasan es hachomesh, ein hachomesh ma'akev. So if he brought a guilt offering, if he brought the principal, but did not give the chomesh yet, the extra fifth, so that does not make the guilt offering, that does not make the principal he brought not count, it does count. So our mishnah is a continuation of the previous mishnah, and it's elaborating on the case of a person who steals from a convert, swears to him, and then dies. It's already been taught in other places that the priests were divided into 24 watches, with each watch, a mishmar, serving for 1 week in the temple, in a rotating order. This is the source for the law in the previous Mishnah that the thief pays principal and chomesh to the priests in that watch. Right? So we're saying that if he stole money from the convert and then gave it to the men of the watch, the priests who are serving in the temple during that week, and then he, the thief, dies before giving the guilt offering to sacrifice, so the heirs of the thief can't take the money out of the priest's hands. Right? Once it's given to the priests, it's the priest's. So if he gave money to one priest, who was the first watch of the priests, there was a special name for every watch, and afterwards he gave the guilt offering to the second watch, then he's done his duty. He's done both. His requirement for atonement is done. But if he gave the guilt offering to the first priest, and then the money to the second, in other words, he reversed the order and brought the guilt offering first and afterwards gave the money, so if the guilt offering is still in existence, it hadn't been sacrificed yet, so then fine. But if it's already been sacrificed out of order, then he has to return and bring another guilt offering because he didn't fulfill it in the proper order. Okay, now we will go ahead and learn Mishnah 1, Chapter 10. Hagozel umaychil esbanov. If one steals and feeds his children, v'niach lifnehem, or he left it for them, paturin mil shalim, they're exempt from paying. V'im haya davar sheyesh bo acharayus, and if it's something for which there is a obligation, chayvin l'shalom, then they have to pay. Ein portin lo miteves hamochsin, you cannot change money either from the till of the customs gatherers, v'lo mekisho gabayin, and not from the pouch of the collectors, v'ein notlin mehem sadaka, and we don't take charity from them. Aval notel hu mitoch beto o min hashuk, but he takes from his house or from the marketplace. So again, our thief here is feeding his children what he stole, or bequeathed it to them. And do they have to pay or not? It also deals with people who are assumed to be thieves and teaches us that it's forbidden to derive benefit from their money because we have to assume that it's stolen. Okay? So if he fed his children, it no longer exists. The children don't have to pay for it because they didn't steal it. And The only debt that they have to pay of their fathers is movable property, and that's not mortgaged to a creditor. But if the father bequeathed it to them, and a thing that has a surety, right? It's got a chrayus, it's got obligation, right? Like real estate, you know, something that's not consumed, right? So they have to pay because their father's property had already become mortgaged while he was alive, because he had stolen the object. And so you know, with a consumable object, the owner's despair of ever recovering it again. But if we, let's say, eaten it, his kids had eaten it before they had a chance to despair of ever getting back again, then they would have to pay even from movable property. Okay? But if the object is still in existence, even if the owner gives up, they have to return it because it hasn't been consumed. And the purchaser is not required to return it, only if the owner despaired, and then heirs are required to return it, because the ownership by an heir is not the same of ownership as a buyer. Okay, so there is a differentiation there. Now, we said ein portin, you cannot change money, either from the tills of the custom gatherers to the pouch of the tax collectors, because it's assumed that that money is stolen. And the Gemara explains that the Mishnah is referring to a tax collector who does not have an allotment. He's not appointed by the government to collect taxes without a fixed rate. He takes whatever he wants to. It's referring to a self-appointed tax collector who is not appointed by the government, and he's demanding taxes illegally, and therefore he's considered a thief, and all the money is presumed to be stolen. Tomorrow we will continue with Chapter 10, Mishnahs 2 and Mishnahs 3.